Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. He's Greg Pickle. He's the star of this show anyway. He's the star of this segment. This is Ask Greg. We usually do this our last segment of this show, but now we're bringing in our best bet series coming up after this, looking at the, some of the top best top 25 matchups in the country, giving our picks against the spread and seeing how we do there. But for now, we're going to tackle your Penn State football and recruiting questions segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. We're going to give a bottle of wine away to the best question as picked by Greg Pickle here. You can check out everything they do, a mix of barbecue and wine at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. We're going to start with our buddy Mark from GoPSURV. He says it's his first comment to our show, first question to any Penn State sports outlet. He's fired up about the Lawn Boys chain. And his point here, he writes quite a bit, but his point here, you know, looking at two key words for him, a tradition and modesty, which that's, I mean, Penn State, I think that's fair. You can say they've got a tradition and modesty and a deep history of Penn State being humble. These guys coming to the sideline and strapping on that ginormous, it's not even that big, relative to what some of these other turnover chains and that kind of thing look like across the country. This is not all that blatant. But the point being, this was not something that Penn State's program was built on. This marks a change, in his opinion, and in a bunch of others, other fans, a belief that it's drifting away of where Penn State came from and where they're going. He kind of pleads with James Franklin to reverse course on that. Do this, something like this, if you have to, behind the scenes. You know, I'll let you tackle that first, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but there's always going to be changes that some part of every fan base like and don't like, and other parts like them and think they should do more of them. And I don't know. If there's one thing that James Franklin should have learned by now as Penn State's coach, is that you're not going to always please everyone in this very wide, very eclectic fan base. So, you know, some people are going to be upset about this. Some people will be upset about that. You know, it just goes and goes and goes. But it's certainly not hurting anyone with these guys wearing a chain after they score a touchdown or make a big play or what have you. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Would you personally, like, you can't wear a Lawn Boys chain, but would you wear a gold chain, like, after you did something really well? Like, if you filed a great story and it said, and you're like, you know what, tip of the cap to you, wear your Pickle Boys chain, would you wear it?
No, I would not.
So what's interesting here is that Penn State's position groups are becoming more and more branded. So you got the Wild Dogs, the defensive linemen. You got the Lawn Boys, who I guess that's a reference to chewing up yardage.
That would be my suspicion.
Yeah. The tight ends are aces. Am I missing anybody?
I don't think so.
I think so. This is just a step in that direction. It's on the sideline, so I don't really have a big problem with it. And I guess as a program, like, it's not, you know, you're not wearing this necklace, which you can debate the merits of it. Like, Jim just showed me a poll where most people are either neutral or hate it, right? That's the moral of the story. You don't have to like the name. Like, I think it's a little silly. You don't have to like the chain, but it's not coming at the opponent's expense.
Right.
You know, I think you're seeing this movement across the country, and maybe to Mark's point, he doesn't want to see Penn State move in lockstep with where the rest of the country is going on something like this. And that's fair. I respect that. But, you know, it's just a different time, and Penn State is rolling with that. And would you rather their actions speak to young players who you want to try to come to your program, which as dumb as you might think this is. It speaks to recruits at this position group. They're playing a lot of them. They're united. They're having fun. They're not competing each other to a point where it's detrimental. You know, this is a position group that it's a united front that Penn State's putting up. I think as silly as it is, it speaks to that. And I just think the act itself, you know, my personal opinion is incredibly harmless. Yeah. I don't have a personal objection to that at all. I don't really love the name or the chain, but that's not really the point of it in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%, Dustin.
All right. Mike from Lake Winola. It says it was an awesome win against Maryland with a great play calling, execution. Great to see the team having fun. I'll insert my own Lawn Boys chain reference there. So I'm not going to nitpick or overreact to the hype. So he's got a question about something else. I'm not sure how much you've used or looked into ESPN's FPI, but it's very interesting. It has Penn State after week 6 at number 8. Seems believable, but my question is, it has Rutgers at 113 and Maryland at 55. Is Rutgers really that bad? And is Maryland really that good ahead of teams like Appalachian State, Pitt? It says Dustin's Northwestern, et cetera. That is my Northwestern team for sure.
Yeah.
Wait till they go on a 3-game winning streak and beat two top 25 teams. Then we'll see where they are.
Right. So ESPN's FPI has Penn State projected to win 10 games for the first time this season. I think it's interesting to look at this stuff, but, you know, it seems to me that the FPI and the S&P Plus, to a lesser extent, are very they are very much influenced by what just happened as opposed to what's coming ahead. So, or, you know, taking into account things that happened in the past. So when you win 59-0, all your numbers are good. Yeah, you're going to move up. You know, I think it probably has some of those teams much lower for a variety of reasons. Again, like Buffalo's 111. That was a pretty bad loss that they just had to Miami of Ohio. So I get that. But, I mean, Rutgers just fired its head coach, and it looked absolutely lifeless and listless. So is Rutgers that much worse than Maryland? Yeah, I think it probably is.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think either of those figures is necessarily inappropriate for them. If anything, I'm surprised that Rutgers is as high as 113. You know, Maryland at 55, they just, you know, they scored – I don't know, what did they score, 142 points in their first two games?
Right.
Something like that.
Yep.
Blew out Syracuse, who was ranked at the time. So they still get some credit for that those first 2 weeks, particularly the Syracuse game. The FPI has been high on Penn State really from the beginning. I believe preseason they had Penn State as the most likely Big Ten champion. They had them as ahead of Ohio State, did they not?
Yeah, which is surprising.
That is surprising. In my opinion, the FPI is a broken metric that should really, at the very least, be taken with a grain of salt. I don't know that it's like, you know, that Bill Connelly came from, you know, SB Nation. When he was at SB Nation, he had the S&P Plus. Now it's called the SP Plus. That is a more advanced metric that is both reflective of the past and predictive of the future. The FPI, I don't really know where it's going or what it's doing, but I don't really put a lot of stock into that. But for them to have Penn State at 8, I don't know what the history of it is, but they've been high on Penn State for whatever reason, whatever their formula says is a winning formula. They believe Penn State has it. So yeah, I take it all with a grain of salt. My Northwestern is hilarious, and I think my Northwestern, like I said, they look brutal right now. They're going to beat somebody. And they're probably going to be multiple somebodies, and their FBI is going to change, and our outlook on them is going to change. But all along, they're exactly what we know Northwestern to be. That's my Northwestern. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. A good question here, Pat from Westchester. Based on the Maryland game, Penn State missed really hard on Nick Cross, didn't they? What a player. How do our safeties compare? I think that's a fair sentiment. You know, you see Nick Cross covering the entire field. I'm like, boy, that would have looked good in blue and white right now.
Yeah, he would. And that was one of those recruitment stuff that went right down to the wire. We both remember it well. And yeah, Penn State would certainly love to have him. I don't think it's a knock on Garrett Taylor or Jonathan Sutherland or Lamont Wade, though. I think those guys are playing fine. But if you had a guy like Cross back there, that'd be you know, a big piece to an even better defense than what Penn State already has, which is currently one of the nation's best defenses.
And I think more than anything, you know, the need – at the safety spot is somebody that can cover that much ground, somebody who just seems to have a flair for making a play when the ball is in the air. I don't think Penn State's safeties really fall into that category yet. I think it's an ongoing thing that they're looking for a little bit of game changing juice from that safety position. And I think depth wise, they're in better shape, but which of these guys are you really going to circle to be able to make a play like Nick Cross made on that interception on Sean Clifford?
Right.
You know, that's a talented kid. And I think sometimes with ball skills in particular, there's just only so much coaching. Like they either have it or they don't.
Right.
I'm not sure if Penn State's safeties even now have those elite type of ball skills. And that's more to me a compliment of Nick Cross than it is an indictment of these safeties. I think Penn State's got a really good group. That's just not really the strength of their game, what we saw from Nick Cross.
Correct.
So, yeah, I wouldn't call it a miss, because when you call it a miss, that implies that Penn State did something wrong. You know, there was an allure to come to Maryland's program to play for Mike Locksley, to stay a little closer to home, to kind of represent his home state. He's from Maryland, right, Nick Cross?
Yep.
So just to stay in his home state, and how are you going to fault a kid for that? How are you going to fault for Penn State for that? It just couldn't be overcome in the end there. Let's do one more question, and then we'll pick a winner. Keith from Hollidaysburg, other than the obvious pick of Justin Fields, who would be the top two or three decommitments who were the biggest losses for Penn State?
Yeah, Fields obviously tops that list. He looks really, really, really good at Ohio State. You know, it's interesting. You don't see too many of these guys that decommitted from Penn State really making a huge impact. You know, I still think Derek Pitts would have been a phenomenal get.
You would fit right in with what Penn State's defense.
Exactly. Andrew Pritz is always a guy that comes to mind in this conversation, and I don't even know what he's been doing
out of Stanford. He transitioned to linebacker, and as of I think before this season began, hadn't made much of an impact out there.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, he has his first career interception this year against Northwestern, where they just keep coming up, but yeah, he hasn't necessarily done a whole bunch out there. I mean, those two are the ones that always come to mind. You know, Quinn Nordine is one that you don't, you know, need to think about much anymore. I think Brandon Wimbush, if he was at Penn State, that would have been interesting. But, you know, I mean, Miles Hartfield's actually playing really well. Or once he got things straightened out, he went down and played quite well at Ole Miss, and I think at the JUCO level too. So I'd say Hartfield's probably up there. You know, obviously it's easier to grade these things with hindsight, but Hartfield fits maybe. Well, I guess Dylan Rivers didn't end up doing anything down at Virginia either, so probably Hartfield and Fitz. Prince.
Not the guys who you might expect. Justin Fields, you knew that one was going to be an impact loss, and that's proven to be so. Might not feel that impact any more than when you do in the next month or so when they play Ohio State. Who had the best question?
Let's go with that decommitment one. I like that. That was a good question.
Keith from Hollidaysburg asking about the decommitments. You know, you reflect back on Penn State's misses. Again, you know, Nick Cross wasn't a decommitment, but that was also a time to think like, boy, what if they would have landed this kid? How big of an impact would he have made? So Keith from Hollidaysburg is the winner of this week's bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. We appreciate all your submissions. If you don't know how to do that still, you can download the Keystone Sports app. Click Ask Greg and fire off questions to us that way. There's plenty of incentive to do that. Thanks everybody else for tuning in this week. As always, you can check us out on that Keystone Sports app and follow us at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.